you'd like to take out your Bibles and turn to the book of Acts chapter 2. That's where the story of Pentecost, the coming of the Holy Spirit, can be found. It's on page 1140 in most of the pew Bibles. There's a few rogue printings out there, so maybe not yours, but most. Acts chapter 2, we're going to read verses 1 through 13. When the day of Pentecost came, they were all together in one place. Suddenly a sound like the blowing of a violent wind came from heaven and filled the whole house where they were sitting. They saw what seemed to be tongues of fire that separated and came to rest on each of them. All of them were filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak in other tongues as the Spirit enabled them. Now there were staying in Jerusalem God-fearing Jews from every nation under heaven. When they heard this sound, a crowd came together in bewilderment because each one heard them speaking in his own language. Utterly amazed, they asked, "Are not all of these men who are speaking Galileans? Then how is it that each of us hears them in his own native language? Parthians and Medes, Elamites, residents of Mesopotamia, Judea and Cappadocia, Pontus and Asia, Phrygia and Pamphylia, Egypt and the parts of Libya near Cyrene, visitors from Rome, both Jews and converts to Judaism, Cretans and Arabs. We hear them declaring the wonders of God in our own tongues." Amazed and perplexed, they asked one another, "What does this mean?" Some, however, made fun of them and said, "They have had too much wine." This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. I don't know if you have this. You probably do. When you read a passage from Scripture, whether it's in your daily devotions or in a reading that when you do, there's something, there's always something that just seems to jump out at you, that leaps out and say, "Wow, I never noticed that before, or I never really thought about that before." Well, it certainly was the case for me as I read this passage. I knew it was Pentecost Sunday. I knew that I would want to read from Acts chapter 2, because that's the story, that's where it's found. And as I read it, I thought, well, that's kind of weird. Well, what was kind of weird? Well, the whole thing was kind of weird, right? I mean, how often do balls of fire come down from heaven and separate and hover above people? I mean, that's certainly not an everyday event, but that's not what struck me. What struck me was the very last verse, verse 13, when some people, when they saw what was happening and witnessed all that, their conclusion was, their remark was, "These people have had too much wine. They're drunk." I thought, really? I have some experience of seeing people who are really, really deeply into their cups. People who just totally wasted. And what I've noticed about people who are like super intoxicated is that they don't really speak well. Like they slur, or they don't make any sense. It's all kind of nonsensical, or it's out of touch. It's not connected with the reality. It's not a clear and vibrant message that comes out of somebody that's super drunk. It doesn't happen that way. But what these disciples were doing, there was the sound, there was the fire, and then there was the speaking. There were the words, and the words were eloquent. The words were clear. They were purposeful. Not only that, there was this miracle of all these languages being spoken. And that's obviously, to me, not the result of too much Crown Royal or too much good wine or whatever. It's obviously the result of a miracle. It's a God thing. Now, why anybody would say that it's the result of too much drinking doesn't make any sense of. But I wondered. In a way, they were almost speaking a word of prophecy. They were almost, I would say, speaking a word of truth when they said that. They have had a lot of something. And what is it that they've had a lot of? And what they have had a lot of is God Himself. That the Holy Spirit, who is the person of the Godhead who comes and fills people and moves in hearts, came in such an overflowing and abundant way that the people were just giddy. They were overcome. They were talking. They were talking sense. They were talking miraculously in other languages, but they were so enthused, they were so filled with the message that there was an exuberance. And it was good. It was a good thing to be filled with the Spirit. Because when the Holy Spirit came, He came with power. He came with effervescence. He sparkled up, He filled, He bubbled. And He came not in just a little bit. It's not like the Holy Spirit came and said, okay, hold out your hands and hold just a little bit. There's a Spirit just in your hand. The Holy Spirit came and it was like a shower. It was like a drenching. It was like being filled to capacity and that the Spirit was flowing out over. And because they were equipped, these people had courage and capacity to speak. They had wisdom and they knew the truth and were sharing it. What's amazing about this is that these people would not be expected to have courage or wisdom or the capacity to express these kind of things. They were ordinary people. When we read the gospel accounts and we see who these disciples were, that they were fishermen. They were the blue-collar working people of Palestine. They weren't the experts, that they weren't the powerful, they weren't the highly educated. They were the regular kind of folks who are not the orators and not the preachers and not the ones that any political party or any spiritual movement is going to put them forward. They're the followers. They're the little people in the background. But here they were standing, speaking convincingly, powerfully, beautifully, and it was the gift. The Holy Spirit works through them, these ordinary people, and gives them extraordinary capacity to bless and to serve and to speak. Now here at Bethel Church, we're ordinary people. None of us have our names on political signs. None of us are running for office, I don't think. Maybe if one of the candidates for any of the elections has slipped in the back, we bless you, but I don't expect to see you. We're the people that are going to vote. And we're the people that are going to be praying that those who are elected have the wisdom to, as Elder Doug said in his prayer to God, have the capacity for justice and integrity and to be a blessing to our society. It's ordinary people like us that the Spirit comes to, that He fills us. Not the mighty, not the prominent, not the famous, but just to me, just to you. What it depends on, what the movement of God in the world depends on, is not that the powerful get on side. What it depends on is God filling the people he chooses with his Spirit so that they can go and be his messengers, to use the power that he gives, the power to speak, the power to hope, the power to share, the power to be a representative of God in the world. The joy of Pentecost, the promise of this day, and that which we cling to is that we who say we are just folks are indeed the receptacles of the Holy Spirit. And God can use us. God can use us to do amazing things, to share an amazing hope, to have influence beyond what we would expect or even dream of. But the dream of God is that through his people, the message will go out, that people will find hope, and the kingdom of God is revealed among us. So let's not hinder the Spirit. Let's not try to put up a wall. Let's not try to prevent the flames from resting on us. Let's be open. Let's be filled. And let's follow him. In the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Amen. Let's pray. Lord in heaven, thank you. Thank you for your Spirit, for filling us. We who you have chosen, we don't know why, but because we believe, we know that it's true. Now, Lord, send us to be your empowered witnesses, to say good and kind and true things so that people can hear. And Lord, if people hear us speak and they say, ah, those people, they're just a bunch of drunks or a bunch of fools, we can take that. But we want to be obedient. We want you to receive the glory. And we know that you will call people using that which we do in obedience. And so we say thank you. And we pledge ourselves before you. In the name of Christ, amen.